Hello, everyone. This is Glenda, and welcome to the Blessings of Christ on the 17th day of October. We are really into the fall now. Even down here on the south coast of Texas, we can feel it. And the days are beautiful and just charmingly cool in the morning, and not too hot in the middle of the day, which is quite refreshing down here. We hope that everything is going well for you wherever you are, and if not in the outer world, then in your heart, because that's where it really counts. That's where it really, really matters. Welcome, everyone, to this call. This call is for you, and I will probably be led to make some comments, and Yeshua will come up with a message for you that's appropriate for your needs and desires on this special day. But we like to warm up the room by hearing from our community, because you're what this is for. You're what is the carrier message out to the world. Whatever you receive it for yourself and your personal needs, but you also radiate it out to those around you and even further than you may ever know. So I'm going to open the call line to Elizabeth. Hello, Elizabeth, and welcome today.
Hello, Glenda. I would just like to ask a blessing for a friend of mine who's in just been taken to hospital in Lafayette, Louisiana. His name is Brent, or his nickname is Boz, B-O-Z, and he's... all his legs are swollen up and he's got these awful red marks that are really hurting him. And right now they're doing tests and MRIs and everything right as I'm making this call. So I would ask a blessing that the doctors around him can find out what this is. They just have no idea what it is at the moment, and that some of the pain will be taken away from these marks on his legs, and that he will be at peace in his heart, and that healing will be possible. And that Yeshua will be with him and the doctors and surrounding him in healing light. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Already has a message. He already knew, but the fact that you ask just reinforces the connection. That's why we ask. It solidifies the connection between us, the receiver, or another person who will be receiving, and the giver. And this is why we call it blessing givers, because we are here to offer, but it's up to you to connect. And this is even true with Yeshua, which is why he taught the apostles, ask and you will receive, knock and the door will be opened. And he didn't really say that as a courteous thing to do, as a nice way of strengthening your affirmation. No, actually, he obviously gave a stronger message about this to the apostles, because in one of the epistles that Paul wrote to a church, he said they were complaining that their needs were not being met. And he said, you ask not, therefore you have not. And I said to him, well, what do you mean we ask not? We pray. And he said, no, but you don't really ask. And then he proceeded to elaborate on that. So there's something extremely important about the asking. And even taking the time to focus your thoughts, your words, and your feelings on that which you're asking to receive. I know that in my years of being with Yeshua, after I was with him, my prayers changed tremendously, because I used to pray, well, the Lord's Prayer most frequently, which is lovely, but I have a feeling he taught it to the apostles with a little more vitamin B12. In other words, a little more strength for the spiritual muscle. And I have learned to pray that with more intensity. And when I ask for anything else, I make sure I'm not asking for the superficial side of it alone. That's all right, too. But that I'm really forming my feelings, my thoughts, my faith, and expectation around the receiving of a blessing, the actual receiving of a miracle and what it will do. And there's an art to asking. I don't know if you've ever worried about asking for a raise or asking for a job, but even that carries the art of asking. If you ask for the wrong thing first, you may not get that raise. You have to present, first of all, why you need it, why it's so important, and why you will do your best and be so grateful. Then you ask for it. And that's just a human request that in many ways we pay more attention to than we do to our prayers, because we take for granted that God already knows. Well, God does already know, but he's waiting for you to ask. And your asking needs to reflect your understanding of the situation and your appreciation of the miracle or the giving that will happen. So thank you, Elizabeth, for giving me an opportunity to speak in this way. And I use that to reinforce our request for prayer. And I know that he will be attended to appropriately.
Thank you, Glenda.
And I'm going to open the line to Jerome. Hello, Jerome, my friend.
Oh, Glenda, Jerome, and I'm going to ask for a blessing. We're going down to Ohio this next week, Thursday, Friday, to meet my wife's brother from Texas. So a blessing and an ask for that safe trip and a great get-together with the family, and but asking for our family already here, too.
Oh, great. And you know that as asking, you will receive.
Yes,
so you will have a safe trip and a very heartfelt reunion that blesses each member of your family. And always, many blessings to you, Jerome, for all the service that you have performed in your life our human family. And you were there when the babies were getting started. So you had a most blessed opportunity to love
thank
and
you.
Serve.
Love
and we
blessing.
Thank you for Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
Bella, you're on.
Hi, Glenda. It's Aria.
Oh, Aria. Okay. I should probably change your
Yeah, I figured you didn't get around to it. You're busy. No problem.
Yeah.
It's me. And I'm calling because I've been feeling very strongly the connection with Yeshua and in my way of looking at it, lifetimes with him. And I still have trouble because this, that, and the other thing, pain and feeling like I'm not in the little picture being supported. But in the spiritual picture, in the higher way, in my higher life, I feel him very close, but I don't know how to merge the two, you know, to stay in that space because I get very depressed and very down. And I want to
I've been there, Aria, I know exactly what you're feeling. I think all of you know what I've been through the last couple of years, and even before that was a hurricane. Okay,
yeah.
I know exactly what you're feeling. And the key is surrender. Now, I don't mean surrender in giving up, but the thing is, when we have a problem in the third dimension, the first thing we want to do is go and fix it. We want to solve it. And if we can't fix it ourselves, we want others to come in and help us fix it, right?
Right.
So that takes us really deeply into the third dimension.
Right.
And it's very hard to surrender the, shall we say, the processes of the third dimension so that we can pull in assistance from the higher dimension. We have, you know, the third dimension is very bossy. I think you probably have learned, you know, yeah. You have a debt, you're going to get letters about it. You're going to get pushed to pay it. You have an illness and the doctor's going to say, oh, you got to take this, you got to do that, and that, and that. And a nutritionist is going to say, you got to stop doing this, you got to do that. The third dimension is very pushy. It really is. And you've got to have faith in yourself that you are multidimensional. And not all the answers come on the third dimension, even though the third dimension is where most of the problems are.
Makes sense.
And that's the beauty of the blessing we offer on Sunday, because it brings in the blessing from higher dimensions that will percolate into the earth on which you stand. So that your boots are stronger and your connection with the processes of the earth are stronger. And I don't speak on this from a higher plane. I am in a very, very deep state of struggle to get through the next problem of my life. And it's huge. It's really quite huge. But I find that when I bury myself in that problem, I lose connection with the dimension from which help can come.
Right.
And take surrender.
Okay.
So at least while you're in the blessing, let go. And for at least 7 minutes after the blessing, stay let go.
I will. I love these calls. I just want to say how much I love you and everyone on the call.
Oh, we love you too, and we're so glad to hear from you. And you were very loved on the third dimension. It's just kind of, it's almost, I should say, equally hard for others to help you. I have tremendous problems, and I could call on help from our community, and I am so loved they would try to rush in and do the job. But
for
you know,
sure.
I realize they can't do it either. And the more I ask, the more I feel that I am imposing on my connection. And I respect it too much to do that. So I surrender. And I know that Yeshua is here. I know that God our Father is here. And I had the most wonderful conversation with him a few days ago. It was like fresh water on dry earth, and I felt just completely made new again. So reach up. You know, I'm almost getting to the point where I'm trying to carve out a few days in the next couple of weeks to turn this seminar called The Only Way Out Is Up into a small book that we can publish, because if there's anything people everywhere, everybody needs, is to remember to look up.
Right.
And not always just to God, to look up to your own higher self, the part of you that lives in the fourth and fifth dimension, and holds your faith in place. So it's not always just looking up to Yeshua or your angels or God the Father, but look up to the higher part of yourself and the higher resources you have. And
that's who I'm calling in. Yes, I am.
Exactly. So that's what I have to offer for today. And you're on my list, and you'll stay on my list.
Thank you.
So when I'm having these wonderful conversations, I say, remember, Aria.
Oh, that's so sweet of you, Glenda. Thank you so much. So much love to you.
Well, I love you, too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Christopher, you are on. Hello, my friend.
Hello. Hi, Glenda and everybody. Well, I'm so happy to be back. I missed last week in person or live, but I listened to the recording two nights ago, and I'm just amazed by the deluge of love and inspiration that came in. I just have to say it as a testimony, you know, how... my experience of Yeshua is pure love and pure acceptance and bounty overflowing of joy. I mean, you said that was like water on dry earth. That's the way I felt. And it has stayed with me. And I really appreciate what you and Arya were just talking about. I appreciate Arya's vulnerability and you're also sharing yours. Because I've had similar experiences where I think I've mentioned to you before that I'm in graduate school finishing my degree and I'm looking at how do we bring more love into leadership. And that's a great vision. But when I actually get into the rubber hits the road of academia or of my own thinking about these things, it feels so far removed from the experience of love that I have in the blessing. So the blessing rejuvenates me. It recenters me. Being with Christ, seeing his smile. I mean, his smile is so, I just can't even believe it. It changes my whole day. And so I try to keep the awareness of his smile in my consciousness, even as I'm going about studying, reading, and facing what can be very challenging human issues. But I just wanted to thank you and Arya for sharing on that and just ask a blessing for my graduate studies. And for all of us that are really trying to bring love into life, bring love into leadership, bring love into social change, bring love into all the human trials that we see and tribulations that we see right now.
Oh, that's great, Christopher. And, you know, I do want to say this, that love on the third dimension doesn't quite look or feel like love coming from the fourth, fifth, and above. Because on the third dimension, there's always an element of competition, and and I don't mean just competition for success in material success, but competition for attitude. You know, I know better than you know, that sort of thing. Mm. And you find a lot of that in academia, because I know I swam in those waters for many years until I got tired of the sharks. So there's a lot of competition on the third dimension, and there's also an attitude of scarcity on the third dimension because the quantities are laid out for us, and they're managed quantitatively. And one of the things that I have devoted my life to as an artist is transposing the quantitative elements of the earth into qualitative. When I paint a garden, I don't count the number of trees I paint. It doesn't matter. I paint the essence of trees. I don't count the number of flowers I paint. It doesn't matter. It's the color and the radiance, the beauty and the aroma of the flowers that matters. And the same is true, which is why I gravitated to essential oil, because it's the quality. And so I look for elements in the material world that are a little more on the balance side of quality and not quantity, because quantity will always be treated very, very harshly and with meticulous terms. You know, I pray for everyone who's gravitated toward being a CPA or an attorney. Lord, I pray for these people. I really, really do, because there's love buried down underneath all the numbers. But how they breathe really makes me wonder. It really does. Yeah. And I really thank God that he spared me from a quantitative lifestyle into a pure qualitative existence, whether as an artist or a writer or a minister. I have the pleasure and privilege of centering my life around qualities of life. And the more any of you can do this, the better your life will be, I assure you. Because any time you get into quantity, there's always a scarcity. There is, because quantities are just meted out at the end of the day. You could go, just for an example, I took a tour once of Mrs. Baird's Bakery. Now, outside of Texas, you probably don't even know what that is. But it's been there since the since the Great Depression. It was one of the companies that contributed to pulling out of the Depression in Texas. And you can smell the bread baking for miles away. It was like one of my favorite scents as a child. We didn't have air conditioning in the car when I was really young, so we'd get within 5 miles and I could say, oh, I smell Mrs. Baird's bakery. And it just, the aroma changed my day. So I was thrilled when as an elementary school student, we were given a tour. Well, they were telling us how at the beginning of the day, a certain amount of flour, yeast, and the other ingredients are meted out just for that day. And that's all they can make on that day because they want it to be fresh. And then at the end of the day, they produce an exact certain number of loaves that are requested by the bakery and distributed to the bakeries during the day as they roll out. And at the end of the day, what wasn't distributed is put in the day-old bread. Okay, and it's all exactly to the number. They don't make any more after that limited number is made. Now, this may sound like a trivial, anecdotal thing, but I made it a relevant, easy-to-understand thing because you don't have to go into quantum physics to understand that everything in the third-dimensional world is meted out with certain measure and expected to form with certain measure, and whether it does or doesn't, at the end of the day, it's accountable. And so we get really weary of this dimension, because we are children of the great soul who essentially manages everything from perceptions or qualities. But God doesn't matter. He doesn't care how much you did it. He cares how well you did it and how much love you did it with and how much you cared, how much you served in the things that you did. It's the world that cares about quantity. And sure, to comply with agreements that you've made, working or otherwise, we do have to come up with certain quantities. But sometimes we just have to brush off those quantities and say, oh, well, that's not what's important. I did what was important.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Yeshua said, give unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar and to God what belongs to God. And at the end of the day, what belongs to God is what's going to pull you out of the rut. Sometimes what you struggle with to pay the world is just going to suck you further down into the tunnel. And I know you've all been there. Everybody that's more than 6 months old has been there. Thanks, Christopher, and blessings to you and your work, because this is where your work becomes so vitally important. It may not always look like love, but what you can do to make the transition to love is quality.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wants more quality. And when you build quality into the things you do in the world, you're creating a solid foundation for love to stand on. So that would be my contribution to your issue. And if I look at my life, I can see how I spent the first 25 years of my career building that kind of foundation. Quality was in everything. Even when I went into agriculture, it was a vineyard. It wasn't a wheat field. It was a vineyard where everything is measured by quality. When I helped my mother start her, and she and I were partners in the garden in the beginning, so I had to leave, get married, and get on with my career. But she and I set it up, and we did it because it would turn an area of farmland and erosions of gullies and a creek that frequently flooded into a paradise. And we built the quality in, and then the quality radiated with love. It attracted people from everywhere. I went on and created a career that was based on quality. And what did the quality attract? It attracted Yeshua to complete my career with his portrait. Okay? And what did that build? Well, it built faith. It took a lot of faith for me to take that payment.
miserable. I'm telling you guys, it did. Because I thought I would be greeted with rotten tomatoes. But actually, I was greeted with love. And the love built, and it built until there was a book. Love Without End. And Love Without End built and built until there were the keys of Joshua. And that built and built until here we are, we're offering blessings to the world. So I would say that in the goal that you're trying to build, I won't say trying, that you are building, focus on quality. That makes the transition easier. Okay?
Yeah, you really got it. Thank you very much. I'm going to listen to this again.
Okay.
I really appreciate it.
All right.
Everybody.
And blessings
I'm so grateful
to
you. To you all. I can't even tell you how grateful I am to everybody here and to Yeshua. Thank you so much.
Well, we're doing what you're doing. We're just each doing it in our own way. So we're just a big team and a big family, and we're growing bigger by the day. Okay? And Christopher, I'm going to say goodbye to you so I can open the line to Mara. Hello, Mara.
Hi, Glenda, and everyone on the call. First of all, I would like to, as someone who is searching for the and finding in the most unusual sometimes places the kind of goals and attitudes that Christopher is going into all his studies with. I meet young people today that are really longing to do quality work, and I really admire you, Christopher, for what you're doing, and I just would like to share a bright light that I witnessed last Sunday, and I was going to come on, but it got to be kind of a, well, I was listening more closely and it was getting late, so I decided to wait. But anyway, there's I'm sure some of you are familiar, and maybe not all of you, with a commentator that comes on Sunday mornings from 9 to 10 Central Time. His name is Fareed Zachariah. He's from India. And he gave the most remarkable statements last Sunday. He has written a book about after COVID and what might develop after that. And when he got done with that, he said he wanted to, and I believe he said apologize. And I thought, wow, I wonder what that's about. So he said his mother had died within, he didn't say the exact time, but it was recently in India. And he said he went into the greatest sadness because every 2 years he had taken his sons to visit his family in India, and because of COVID, he was unable to take the children and then for their annual visit, and then they were unable to go to the ceremonies that they have when their family members pass over. And he said, I want to tell you that I have left out, I realized when I finished the book that I had left out, he said, I've never been a very introspective person, but I had left out what I have discovered is more important then looking at everything on this level of existence without, in terms of just looking at everything external, he said, it is the time for us to become more internal. We need to go inside ourselves to look for at ourselves and become more responsible for what we do as individuals. And it's going to start one at a time. Each one of us is a part of this. Well, anyway, I can't say it as magnificently as he did, but I was very, very pleased and joyful at what he had to say. And every now and then I hear someone else when I don't listen to the news that much, because so much of it is, as you know, is very fearful. And that's a place I don't particularly want to dwell in. But I've been very fortunate to just kind of accidentally sometimes turn on the TV and find someone like Zachariah talking this way, and I am filled with hope. And Christopher and all you young people, you bring hope. You bring hope to humanity, along with you, Glenda.
Thank you so much, Maura, and very well said. Very well said. And there is hope. There's a lot of hope. And
a lot of
There is. And what you talk inside is, in many ways, I think our turning to indoors living is a prelude to turning inwards in more than just superficial ways.
That's beautiful.
To turn inward to ourselves and then into our families. I think really one of the reasons that our families have had little dysfunctional moments is because we have trivialized each other, and then we don't fully respect the issue that we each have, because everybody's got some kind of issue. And if you're family, all those issues should be significant and not trivialized. There's really nothing more insulting than to trivialize something important in another person's life, because there's a reason it's important. And the best way to handle it is to just listen, and then, to the degree that you can, contribute a way to infuse it with quality. Quality of results, quality of dreams, quality of procedure, because the more we focus on quality, the more that issue will resolve its attachment from the world and become a solution that we embrace. So we are the quality on earth. I'll just say that right now, my friends. We're not all loving. We were created as love. At the core of our being, we are love. But in the world, we're not all loving. But, you know, I have read the story of even criminal lives and find there's a place in that life where they collected antiques, or they loved fine food or fine wine, or there was some refinement, some adoration of quality. Maybe it was fine clothes. Maybe it was just an ego obsession. But still, it was a reflection that we as human beings don't ever get around this element of quality. And that's where you can connect with anyone to move them up. I learned that a long time ago as a teacher, as an artist, and then after I moved up myself, then I had an easier time communicating love.
It's hard to communicate love in the three-dimensional world. It really is, because everybody's got a different definition of what love looks like. But you can usually find some degree of agreement on quality.
Mm-hmm.
Fresh fruit, for example, fruit that has flavor. Most people can agree with that. That's quality, you know, because that are fresh and not dried out in the refrigerator, and on it goes. Most people can agree on quality of some type, craftsmanship. They may not understand art, but they'll go to a crafts fair and they'll start really admiring the way a rug was woven. And you can capture those little moments, process into them, and go from there. So
I would like to just add one more thing. I sometimes leave out some of my grandchildren, too, that are capturing some of this quality and far more interested in it. I hear you, and I am so pleased that you. Well, I'm more than pleased. I am sometimes even in overwhelm at the marvelous way in which you put all of these things into context for us. You have done a beautiful job.
Well, I have some great help. We're a team. We're a team, and our team leader is magnificent.
He is perfect, indeed. Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you, Glenda.
Okay. You're welcome. And we love you a lot, Laura. And we're so glad you're here, and your voice is strong, and your thoughts are even more wonderful.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thank you for all
that you are, because you are quality incarnate.
And that's the way I feel about this group of people, about everybody. It's wonderful.
See, it grows. It grows by sharing qualities. Then people start finding the quality in themselves, and then they go out to the world, and they do it with somebody else, and then pretty soon, they're standing knee deep in love. You go out first to create love, and you may run into a disagreement. Because people say, "Well, that's not socially appropriate. You didn't practice social correctness." And I go, "Oh well, to heck with social correctness. Let's just focus on the quality we could bring to the earth." Okay.
Okay.
And we can get some agreement on that pretty quick.
Okay.
It's fun to laugh, isn't it? And there's something that everybody's going to agree on is quality. I don't think there's probably anything on this earth of a human genre that is more therapeutic than laughter.
I agree.
Okay, dear.
I have a lot of that in my life.
You. And I'm going to open the line to Sarah. Hello, Sarah.
Aloha, Glenda, and this beloved community and family and team. I want to just first express so much gratitude. Thank you so much, Glenda, and all who are bringing love into this world in all of our unique ways. And I want to ask for a special blessing today for my mom. Her name is Kathleen. And just a special blessing for her. I feel I've had this feeling that she may be getting close to leaving her body. So I just pray for so much just comfort for her and grace and loving kindness and care, and that she stays as long as serves in her body, and that as she gets ready to go, just that she knows she's so loved and that she has all of the, she can receive all of the love. And so I just ask for that for her and for all of our mothers and for myself. So she's in Massachusetts, and I just feel like I might need to go soon in the next couple of weeks to be with her. And so I just pray that I can do that. But most of all, that she is that she's received so much love, and that all of our mothers and all of us receive so much love.
Oh, thank you. And she's in our blessing. So
thank you.
And she's in Massachusetts. You said she's in Massachusetts?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you're still in California?
I am, yes.
Okay. All right. Well, there's no distance in the spiritual world. There's no time and space.
Oh, yeah.
So in your heart, connect with her heart, and that just completely collapses all time and space into perfect union. And be there with her as you pray every day. And just pray the prayer of union, because there is probably no one in your whole life you will ever be more united with than your beloved mother.
Yes.
And it becomes the model for union with everyone else. So that is one of the gifts our mothers give us, is that they were perfectly united with us early on, at the beginning.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, God bless you, Sarah. Yes. We love you.
Thank you. I love you.
I think face is something that we all face one way or the other at some point in our life. We all had a mother, and at some point in our life, we have to say goodbye. But it's not goodbye. Yeah. It's just see you later.
Right. That's right.
Okay. Well, it looks like we have finished our queue, unless someone wants to log in very quickly. We'll just do a wrap here. And we'll get on with our blessing. So I would like to ask our blessing givers to continue in the next week, remembering me in your daily blessings. I will be moving sometime in the near future. I would say sometime between 2 months, 2 and 3 months, I will be moving out of this home. It's been really necessary for me to pass the both the beauties and the problems of this estate to the next owner. And I don't know where I'm going. I'm leaving that up to Yeshua, to God my Father, and to where our community wants to help me transnavigate. And so I'm just looking for clues and inclinations about what feels right and where to go. So think of me in your prayers, in your meditation, and if you have any clues, let me know. Sometimes, you know, other people see it before you do, even about your own life. And I would appreciate all the information you get. Okay, let's begin our blessing. Just relax in your chair, your bed, wherever you are, swinging in a hammock, sitting on the grass. The only thing I ask, to the degree that you can do it, is your feet on the ground and your head pointed to the heavens, because you will receive energy from the higher plane, and it's better if they don't filter through the density of the earth. In other words, we want to receive energy that hasn't filtered through heavy masses before it got to you. And that's what you will bring in through your crown chakra. And then it will pass through your body. It will circle around in your heart and then pass on through your feet, the chakras on your feet, into the earth, so that you're actually first giving to the earth. The earth will receive your blessing unto itself. And in receiving your blessing unto itself, it will perfect what it sends back to you. And in perfecting that, you will receive a blessing back from the earth, coming up through your feet, your legs, and then swirling around at your heart and moving through the top of your head back to the heavens. So you will allow and convey a blessing from the earth to all that is in the rest of creation and life. And then it will come back to you again and again, same process over and over again. In order to make it more perfect, it will happen no matter what you do. But let's face it, we're here to receive perfect peace, perfect love, perfect healing, and a perfect touch of care from the heavenly realm, our Creator, Yeshua, our angels, and our God. So don't cross your legs or your arms or your hands. Don't cross anything left or right, because you are in a three-dimensional configuration. And energy in a three-dimensional configuration tends to pass in parallel lines, one side going down, another side coming back up. And so you don't want them to cross, except the only places in your heart where your heart will actually filter out conflict. That's why the blessing swirls in your heart, because left will move to right and right to left, and in so doing, it will amalgamate and unify the blessings and filter out any conflicts that have been part of the energy, so that what goes back to the heavens is pure. And then, of course, what comes down, back down, is entered into your heart to be assimilated into your body before it leaves and goes into the earth. And we activate this before the blessing with deep breathing. So I want you to just now be in your place of receiving, wherever that might be. Shake out your legs, shake out your arms, take a deep breath, and just shake your neck and your head to just kind of wiggle down to the earth so that you're flowing energy through your body. Okay? Now take a very deep breath to expand your abdomen and hold it for a few seconds. Hold it and feel it in your body. And now slowly release it, releasing it through your mouth. Okay. Now again, through your nostrils, inhale, deepest breath you can. Hold it deep. Stretch your abdomen, your diaphragm. Take it down as far as you can. And hold it and accept it as a receivership. Slowly, slowly give it back into the world, into the earth. Continue to practice that while I offer my prayer to Yeshua. When I am done, then I will ask the blessing givers to join me, and you begin your prayer, because your prayer is what will anchor the energy into that which you most need and want. Okay. Yeshua, our brother, Lord of life, Redeemer of souls, Giver of love and perfecter of love on this earth, we thank you for all of your gifts and blessings that have preceded this moment. And we know that those blessings have been so rich and abundant, we can't even hold them all. And yet, we are so grateful that we have been able to walk in the midst of those blessings and find that part which we can use, that part which fits our soul and our life. We ask now that you receive us into the fullness of your blessings coming this moment and in the future days, that we may receive as perfectly and as fully as we can, that we may surrender all resistance of things we tried and failed, knowing that what you bring will be a perfect solution, and that you will bring it from very high dimensions that only our soul can reach. We ask that you would unify our soul with our Heavenly Father so that we are in perfect connection with the one who gave us life and sustains our eternal life and gives us hope and glory while on this earth. I thank you for all the blessing givers that you have brought into our work in this world. They are so precious to us, to our church, our family, our community, and the world. And we thank you for just being here, being with us and through us, and through your infinite connection with all of humanity, for providing the solutions that are there when we have the courage to reach for them, when we have the faith to implement them, when we reach with our heart and know that all shall be done. We ask these things in your blessed name. Amen. Blessing givers, will you join me now in offering the blessing? Amen. Amen. And amen. Your blessing has been given. Now go and rest for at least 7 minutes and just be a blank slate on which the handwriting of God may occur. Listen, relax, and just be the love that you are. Goodbye for now, and I look forward to being with you again next Sunday.